All right, guys, tonight, I'm serious. One of my favorite videos I've ever done. I got the opportunity to interview the guy that got me into doing this. The guy that I watched all the time to go, man, I want to share what I know about agave spirits and tequila. And I want to do it like he does, with passion, with understanding, and with a true belief in the brands that we talk about. And tonight, I got to finish off a great bottle of Velour with my friend, Doug Price from the Agave Social Club. I'm telling you, you're going to love this one. Don't miss it. It's awesome.
It's Tasting Tequila with Brad.
I can't believe this is actually happening. It's like I've arrived. I get to hang out with Doug Price. How are you doing tonight, Doug?
Brad, I'm doing well, man. Thank you for having me.
Well, I am really stoked about having you, and I'm stoked for people that don't know your story, that maybe follow me, that don't know about you. I doubt that's very many people, but I want them to hear your story, and then I've got some fun questions to ask you. So if you could tell a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Yeah, so I was born, and no, I'm just kidding. So I love tequila. And I think there's a beautiful story here. And if you can't tell, I am not Mexican. I am not born and raised in Jalisco. But man, I love this industry and this community and this thing called agave spirits, tequila. And so about 5 years ago, I started doing tasting events and started a podcast, and that turned into a lot of content on social media. And ultimately, the goal was really just to do a few things. One, tell a better story to more people. And two, just build relationships. Build authentic relationships, because, you know, this is alcohol. But I say this a lot. You know, alcohol is just the widget that I get to use to get to know people and to hear their story and to share their story. So, you know, it's been a fun ride. I wake up most days not fully knowing what I'm doing, but just like you, you know, we're consistently putting out content, and the goal is to have it be valuable and that people can go, hey, I learned something. There's something there that I learned from listening to a podcast. And my podcast is, the value is not me. The value is the 100+ guests that I've had to give them a platform to share their story. So I'm thankful that people listen. I'm thankful that people watch and that people want to know what I think about certain tequilas, when it's really just opinions and things like that. But then I also kind of want to have a role where somebody might say, hey, it'd be cool to have a drink with this guy. This guy is not a douchebag. Like, this guy's actually a decent guy and might be someone fun to have a drink with. So, you know, I don't always get that card right, but sometimes I, you know, mess up on it. But I'm trying to really just love the people in this industry and this community.
Yeah, that's awesome. You're I don't know if you know this, but your podcast got me through a year of training for a marathon.
You've said that before. Yeah.
And then I ran out. Like, I listened to all of them. I got caught up. And then I was like, I need Doug to put like two of these a day out so I can keep training.
You just keep listening. There's more things. I listen to each episode way too many times because of editing. And there are times where I go, man, I missed that. Or, you know, I learned something. But a lot of times I go, man, I missed that. I wish I would have caught that in the interview, because I would have had a follow-up question. So, I'm trying to actively listen. And you know, I've got my outline on my shows, but I'm trying to do a much better job of going, hey, don't be so tied to that outline. Let's really engage. And if you hear something, you know, let's have a conversation about it. But maybe if you have another marathon, you might learn some more things on the second round of all the episodes.
Well, I actually do have a second marathon coming up, and my goal in this one has been centered around a location that I get to have a drink with Doug Price.
Okay. So are you doing a Disney marathon or something?
Doing the Disney marathon in January. So okay. Yes, sir.
Let me know. Now, is that something like where most people go and there's a table and they grab water and they refuel? Or are you going to do that and like run past La Cava or something and grab some tequila and just keep going?
Well, I was hoping to get like every 2 miles sponsored by one of my favorite tequilas. So like, a G4 at one, El Tesoro at the next one, a Fortaleza at the next one. Then I would probably only get like 4 miles.
And then just go off course and then just we'll find you laying in the grass.
I need that a works. Taco.
That works too.
Well, speaking of tequila, let's pour something tonight. What are you going to sip on tonight?
So I had to finish it because it was almost gone. But this is, and just because I have it, that's no flex. But this is not out yet. This is the newest Fuente Seca 12-year extra añejo. This batch is getting ready to head to the States. Not there yet, but this is a 12-year extra añejo. I've got a little bit left that I may have taken home with me from sipping this with the man himself, Enrique Fonseca. But absolutely delicious. 12 years in a barrel. We still have agave. It's not whiskey. I mean, this Enrique Fonseca is a legend. I love him so much. And to be able to sit with him and drink almost this entire bottle throughout a day. So I figured let's go ahead and finish it up. And, you know, I might move on to some other things as well, depending on how the night goes. How about you? We got some velour here.
I do. Yeah. I'm going to work through this because I need to order another one. But Christiana's become such a great friend. And
she's amazing.
Yeah. They're doing such great things as a brand and as a foundation, and I absolutely love everything they make. So I figured, well, you kind of introduced me to this brand, and my wife asked me to tame down the drinking to just like one glass a night.
Okay.
So I bought like a new
interview or one night. Okay. Perfect. But that pour doesn't seem like it's, you know, for the entire night. That seems like that's just for, you know, a segment or something. So.
Well, my one glass for the night doesn't start when I'm doing this. It starts when I go in the house.
Okay. And so the first drink does not officially start until you're in the house.
Yep. That's in front of the TV.
That's a good rule. Hey, real quick. So velour, amazing brand. I did not know you were going to be drinking that. You know all about this. The Gente Buena Foundation, they're doing amazing things where they are adding water to communities around tequila, around areas of the distillery where velour is made. And so Gente Buena Foundation, if you, I think maybe gentebuenafoundation.org, if I might be wrong, but for listeners, man, that's a great cause. I'm always looking like you, always looking to give back. And man, so proud of what they're doing. They're doing some awesome stuff.
Yeah, pretty exciting. I had a meeting with Christiana on Friday, and there's a number of cisterns that are completed. Yeah. There's a number of cisterns that are next. And then we've got to raise about $35,000 more to finish those cisterns in the town. And yeah. We're working with them to help get that done. It's a great foundation, and they're doing such an amazing thing there. So it's really...
Love it. Love seeing it.
Amazing people and amazing tequila. Okay. So I'm going to hit you with a hard-hitting question. I know that you are a bass player.
Okay.
And the bass players get all the girls. And I know that you are a touring bass player. Can you share with us some of the people that you may have toured with and that you had played with in your music career?
You know, most people wouldn't know it. So everything I did was in the Christian music industry, okay. Which is an easy fit to go right into tequila. And so I did have a chance to play for a lot of different people, some very small, some very large. Last group I ever played for, last show I ever did was a kind of a highlight for me was Radio City Music Hall, playing for with some friends that were legends to me growing up called Third Day. They are a pretty massive band in the Christian music industry. Maybe, I don't know, 4 Grammys, 10 plus million albums sold. So I toured with them for a handful of years and then got to fill in with them a little bit. And so, you know, I played for a while, then switched to on the business side of tour management, road management. And then they eventually got me to come out of retirement and fill in, which was a lot of fun.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I see this, creative person in you from the way that you do your podcast and the way that you communicate to the way you do your photography and your filming. So I know you have a creative soul.
Yeah. Through and through.
When I found out you were a musician, I'm like, okay, it makes so much sense that all just kind of comes out.
Yeah. So, yeah. I love when something that did not exist and now it exists. So I love woodworking. I love art. I used to do a lot of art. I had art teachers. I used to think I would grow up and be an art teacher. Music kind of became my art. I love cooking. I love building things. And then, you know, we're just like you, we're taking that medium into, you know, photography or video work or interviews. And, you know, the creative, my wife is more logical and logistic. She is the string to my balloon, but, creatively, you know, I'm always searching. And, when somebody says it can't be done, I go, no, let's figure it out. 'Cause it can be done and let's have fun doing it.
And it comes through in everything that you do, the video work that you do and the new stuff that you're doing right now is just really phenomenal.
Well, thank you.
It's like, I think you're going to become like the next filmmaker going down there and making these videos. Cause the last one that you just did was really awesome. It was insightful. The video work was great. And the interviews that you did were phenomenal as well.
Well, thank you. I'm working on it. And, you know, that is a goal, the long-term goal, you know, this influencer content creator, and I don't love that word influencer, but if I'm, you know, if I look at it, I do have some influence. And so I have to acknowledge that, but that role, you know, to me, I want to be a storyteller. I want to continue to, you know, like I said, tell a better story to more people. And long-term there is a documentary in there. I've had some conversations with some people that want to make it happen a lot sooner than I think I'm ready to make it happen. So, you know, right now I'm just taking my time and, you know, practicing and, you know, learning and seeing what mistakes I'm going to make, because I know at some point it's all going to be on the line and I can't make those mistakes. So yes, long term, I want to continue to tell stories, because as you know, man, there's so much history and culture, you know, whether we're at families in the valley going up through to the highlands, there's so much culture and history and in these families. And that's just in Tequila. When we get to Oaxaca and other areas, there's so much history. And so and there's a lot of people telling those stories, and I'm not saying I'll do it better, but I think it'll be fun to give it a try and see what spin I can do it, because it is real passion for me. You know, this has started to turn into some opportunity from a business standpoint, but at the core of it, and always will be, is this is passion to me. And so I get excited. I get excited being behind the camera, helping tell these stories.
No, you do a great job at it. I love every one of them. I mean, from the podcast to your videos, I'm always stoked when there's a new one up. What would you say the thing that most surprised you the most as you've learned about the tequila industry and the community and that you've got involved? What did you find out today that you just didn't expect?
Well, I think, you know, fully understanding how amazing the people are and how we can talk about bottles and barrels and, you know, production process. But these are real people that I've gotten a chance to stay the night in their house or go to their child's birthday party or so on and so on. I mean, that's the people that are so generous with their time. You know, we've seen this, you know, Mexico and agave spirits tequila, they want to share this with you. They don't want to hoard this. They're not saying, hey, this is our spirit for us. They're saying, no, we want to bring you in on a story and tell you about this. And I continue to see that where people are just so generous. Like I just said, I just spent a weekend with Enrique Fonseca. The dude owes me nothing, but yet he and his wife said, hey, we want to give you all day Saturday and half the day on Sunday to just spend time with you and tell stories and talk and ask about your family. And I'm asking, like, that's where it's at. And sure, we got to sip on some amazing things, but that's where it's at. So that's one thing. And I think also maybe the negative side of it is this is a business. And as much as if you come in here with as much passion and hope and want to romanticize it, there are things I've learned that I went, okay, at the end of the day, this is a business. And I have to understand that. And I have to be okay with that, because there are things that I've been told or that I've learned that I was like, oh, you know, it's like, I live here 20 minutes from Disney World. And a lot of people go, man, I love Disney so much. I want to move to Orlando and work for Disney. And so I got guys that are CPAs or engineers that move here and they work for Disney. And they go, after a couple of years, they go, I don't know if I want to work for Disney anymore. Because once you get to go behind the curtain, you start to see some things that you just don't, you know, didn't expect. And not saying it's a bad, you know, it's not all bad by any stretch, but for me, as someone who was so passionate about this and still am, I've had to kind of think through, like, I didn't know the industry sometimes could be like this. And that's just with any industry. I'm not just tequila, but every big business, you learn things behind the, you know, behind the curtain that you just kind of went, I don't know if I saw that. So, you know, having to adjust my heart, because my heart is big for this industry, and to go, okay, this is a little different. But then the goal is to continue to find the good, continue to find those stories that are worth sharing. So a little extreme on both.
No, it makes sense though. You know, I think anything that you take that is a hobby, like when I, to me, this is a hobby. This is fun. When I played guitar, that was a hobby. That was fun. And then I played out and then I played in bars. And then all of a sudden playing guitar became a job. And So there's things where that hobby becomes the job, and then you lose sight of why you started doing it in the first place. And to me, that's why I've kept this in a way that I only want to do it for fun. I don't, you know, I'm not looking to branch a different direction, but that doesn't mean that that won't happen at some point,
yeah.
You know?
And you have to be careful because yeah. It could happen. And then it puts you in a spot of going, okay, now how do I justice? I mean, you know, Fortaleza, Guillermo, I was had the honor to be with him last week and a couple weeks before, and we're driving around and he said, man, this was supposed to be a hobby.
Yeah.
This was supposed to be a hobby. And now it's the biggest thing, you know? And so you just, you keep putting out your heart and your art. And next thing you know, but I always find that funny when he said, this was only supposed to be a hobby. And I'm like, okay, not a bad hobby for you now.
Yeah. Eddie Van Halen was a hobby too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Guillermo's kind of the Eddie Van Halen of the tequila world to me. Yeah. I mean, it's such good stuff. What's going on today in the tequila world that you're the most excited about?
I mean, I would say I'm most excited that there are more and more people that are interested and want to learn more about education. And there are more and more people that want to know what they're putting in their body. And it's hard to have those conversations without diving deep into, well, this is what sets these brands apart. So I'm excited for the brands that you have behind you, the brands I have behind me, that more and more people every day are wanting to know more and more about them. That's a pretty exciting thing.
What in the industry today that's going on concerns you?
I mean, I think marketing plays such a large role. I think, you know, a lot of times we want to think that the power of a story is enough to cut through, and that's not always the case. So there's always going to be massive brands that are going to try to use their power, their marketing budgets to convince people. I also think a lot of those massive brands are starting to see that if I can say additive free, this clean, nothing added to tequila, this thing is very popular. And so they need to get in on it. And so I think it's good for them, but I think we're going to see more brands that are the big mass produced brands that are going to go, well, let's try to come out with something cleaner, just so we can now get that audience, so we can take away from, it was like years ago when plant-based was so big, we would see all these meat brands launch these veggie or vegan. And I'm like, it's because it's like, they don't care. They just see that there's market share that they're not getting and they want a piece of it. So I think we're going to see some more confusion and big brands try to get in on that market share of this small batch craft authentic. Let me tell you a story. We got three ingredients, maybe a barrel, but water, agave, yeast. But, you know, there's guys like us that it's our challenge to educate and to go, this is why we like, because, you know, I did a video yesterday on like, here are five brands that you probably should stop drinking and here are five alternatives. And I got people go like, well, yeah, but X brand is the pound for pound best brand for the money. And, you know, it's a crappy diffuser made additive filled. And I'm going, man, if you like it, drink it. But I'm just here to tell you there's something else. And there's even something else within that price point that is going to give you something so much more. And there's even a story there, but you know, you can lead a horse to water.
Yeah. You can only hold its head under.
Yeah. You lead a horse to water, but you can't make them think.
You can't. And I did a tasting at my house this weekend, and half of the people there were new to tequila. Half of the people were tequila drinkers, but they were, you know, some of those brands. And I have those brands here. So when I go through a tasting and I take them through some clean traditional tequilas, I love to see their face when I pour them a Clase Azul and they taste it and go, oh my gosh, Now I get it. Now I see the difference. And that teaching of that is so important. But I say Clase Azul and some of those tequilas are gateway tequilas to bring people to good tequilas. So Yeah. It's hard to say they shouldn't be there because drink what you like. But Correct. If somebody comes there, So that kind of leads into the celebrity thing. What's your thought on celebrity tequilas and celebrities getting into the tequila business? Good or bad?
I think it depends. I think, you know, I think anything that moves people into tequila is a good thing as we continue, because it does give us the chance. If there's somebody who's not in tequila at all, I don't know if we have any chance to get to them to tell them about good authentic tequila. But if they've at least come in the door and they're in the room, and it doesn't matter if they're drinking some junk celebrity tequila. I was going to say some names, junk celebrity tequila. It now gets them in the room to where maybe I can get to that room and have a conversation with them. So, and I think there are some celebrity tequilas that are doing a good job. I mean, I think overall, celebrity, it's an opportunity. And so they go, hey, let me use my, you know, influence to, and why wouldn't they? We got a spirit that's the hottest spirit right now. And if you've got, you know, 10, 20, 50 million subscribers, why wouldn't you start telling a story and go, hey, because it's just something to their portfolio. Most of those are probably looking for an exit and they want to sell at some point, just like George Clooney did for $1 billion. I can't fault you for that. I can't fault you for capitalism to go, hey, I want to start something and use the influence I've got to try to leverage it. By and large, are most celebrity brands not worth your time? No, they're not worth your time. People go, well, I don't want to give money to that celebrity. I hear that. But there's also people that aren't celebrities that are working those distilleries that I do want to help out. It's an interesting thing. I think with celebrity, let's continue to search out the celebrities that are making tequila in a way that we would be excited to drink instead of something that doesn't taste like tequila. Because then it turns into that game of telephone. We start out with something pure. Any of these, we start off with tequila ocho, something pure. This is tequila. And then we just add a little of this and we add a little of this and we go down that row and that person tells this person. And then we get to the end of it. And next thing we know, we've got cake batter, caramel, no agave, no real history to tequila. And it's a very different thing. And the fear is more and more people go, well, that's what tequila is. And I'm going, no. That's, you're so far off. So celebrities, hey, come at it. Keep getting in, because you're going to bring more people into the room. And then that gives us a chance to talk to them and go, let me introduce you to this brand. Let me introduce you to Cask Queen. Let me introduce you to some brands that you probably wouldn't be able to say, but the liquid's amazing.
I 100% agree with you. So if somebody said, hey, I want a celebrity tequila, what is a celebrity tequila that you say that's a good celebrity tequila?
I think Santofino is legit. Santofino is legit. We got Guy Fieri and Sammy Hagar, who's been on my show. Old Cabo, old Lighthouse bottles, if you can find those. Codigo is doing a great job there. It depends on what we call a celebrity and what that means. Insolito has Midland, that their kind of celebrity aspect to it. I think that's a great brand. There are a handful of legit tequilas that we would all say, yeah, we would enjoy drinking that. It's not as many, you know. Flech Azul, people are claiming, hey, this is solid. I'm a little on the fence with the Flech Azul. Hey, good on Mark. Love his movies. I did a video a long time ago where it was like, would you rather watch Mark Wahlberg in a movie or Felipe Camarena?
Yeah.
And, you know, there's just like, well, I'd rather watch Mark Wahlberg. And then I do it on the other end of, well, would you rather drink tequila made by Mark Wahlberg or Felipe Camarena? And it's like, I'd rather drink tequila from Felipe Camarena. So, you know, there are solid offerings from celebrities. You know, a lot of them, it is a cash grab. It's an opportunity. And again, who are we to judge for why someone got in on the game? But there are a handful that I would go, okay, I could get behind. How about you? What, I know I'm missing a few, but.
So, I mean, I'm the same with you. Santofino is probably the celebrity tequila that I drink the most.
Yeah. Yankee El Bandito made sense.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a hard one to really, I didn't know that was a celebrity tequila till I had them on my show and went.
Well, they're athletes. They were pro athletes. Yeah.
You know, Cabo Wabo blue bottle and the old brown ceramic Cabo Wabo bottle is what brought me to tequila back in early 2000s at the Cabo Wabo Cantina. And that's what I drank. And then it changed and I shifted to bourbon and I tried to find my way back into tequila again. Clase Azul, Casamigos, Don Julio, that's what the road I went down. And you'll find this funny. I joined a Facebook group called All Things Tequila. And all of a sudden, all these guys were saying all of these mean things about the tequila that I like. So I unjoined the group. I was like, the heck with those people.
They can't be right.
And what happened is I had one of these. I had an Ocho and I went, wait a minute. That's reminiscent of the tequila that I came to tequila with and joined back in and went to Jalisco and met CJ Agave, right? The owner of that website. A celebrity brought me to tequila, but I don't think Sammy did it for the same reasons that celebrities do today, because Sammy's palate's so much different. But yeah, I think that was a great answer. I can't think of any other celebrity tequilas that I say are good tequilas, but
there's a few. And I also want to make sure for anybody listening, like, no judgment. If you know, you say, hey, Clase Azul. Clase Azul was big for me coming into it, where you think, again, marketing, you think price dictates quality. And we fall into those traps. And now we've tasted so many other authentic, incredible tequilas that we taste something like that and we go, oh my gosh, what is this? So no judgment. People, a lot of times, I think people are scared to join some of these groups or ask these questions, or they're so proud because they went out and they saved up $150. Breaks my heart a little bit, but they saved up $150 and they buy a bottle of Clase Azul or whatever it is, and they want to show it off in this group. And what does that group usually do? The group destroys them. Oh, no, guys, let's extend a hand and go, hey, man, if you enjoy it, great. But let me tell you a story. And so I want people to hear that and go, hey, it's okay. If you're on that road, everyone's got a different journey to tequila. I think a lot of times people that are getting into it today, if they are searching, they may not stumble as much as we stumbled, because there's so many lists. There's so many people that are going, hey, these are some really great brands, but no judgment in this thing at all. We're all in this together.
What's the tequila that brought you in that made you go, oh my gosh, this is amazing?
You know, early on, I fell into the, you know, price point dictates. I really enjoyed the Grand Mayan, that circle bottle, that beautiful, beautiful bottle. That was, I think, an extra añejo. Clase Azul back in, you know, Don Julio 42 was never my thing. And I was never into taking shots of anything. I did enjoy sipping. So I'm glad I didn't even start drinking until I was. I skipped the whole college, just going crazy thing. I was traveling all over playing music, but you know, and even early on, Jose Cuervo Familia Reserve, you know, again, wanting something of luxury. And I think that has not been as great as what it was earlier on, but you know, it's still something to go, hey, give it a try and see what it tastes like. But yeah, I mean, I didn't learn about the greats until, you know, 6-7 years ago, of the G4s or Fortalezas and things like that. It just wasn't in my perimeter to really learn about and to have access to.
Same for me. I mean, you opened up a lot to me that I didn't know about from watching you. So let me ask you this. I Rob Gerard taught me this. I don't like the question, what's your favorite tequila? Because my answer to that is the one that I picked up and poured in my glass today. That's my favorite one. That's the one I chose to drink. But he taught me, what's your go-to tequila? So what is your, like, go-to tequila when you're ready for a glass?
Yeah, I don't like that question either. No. I don't like either of those questions. So that's really hard because, you know, I humbly say this, I have so much and I get so much that just shows up. And there's just so this, like, hey, it's always a revolving door of, hey, well, I need to try this. I think, and I could probably answer that question. I do think the question I like better is, if you could drink one brand for the rest of your life, but you could drink anything that they make, what would that brand be? Because, like, for me, Tapatio jumps up there because their 110 is phenomenal. Their Excelencia is phenomenal. And their regular lineup is incredible. But if you were to say, what's your favorite brand? I don't know if Tapatio would have been my first answers. But, you know, Cascanes, their XA, when they had their original Hovind, absolutely phenomenal. They're, you know, Fortaleza, if I could take anything from them, it now jumps into, you know, a higher spot. My go-to, I've always loved, or what's your favorite distillery? I've always loved pretty much anything from El Pendio. Mm-hmm. So a G4, a Valens. Valens, one of my favorite brands. You know, El Tigaleño. El Tigaleño early on for me was this brand that I just kept hearing about. You know, El Tigaleño, Mexico's best kept secret. I'm going, man, I got to find Mexico's best kept secret. And they're a brand that I tried the Reposado first, and I didn't get it. I didn't like it. I didn't get it. I didn't understand it. And then I came back to it a week or two later, and I started to go, okay, okay. And then I came back to it, and it's now one of my favorite Reposados. So for me, you know, go-to would be something that is easy to find, isn't super expensive, and, you know, is just well-made. But I like the question of, hey, if there's a brand, so Brad, if there's a brand that you go, hey, if I could drink this brand and anything from it, what would be some of your top contenders?
I got to tell you, Siempre is one of those.
Okay.
And I say that because Alex and Sergio are always pushing the boundaries of something new.
Yeah.
So then it's not like I'm just stuck with their Repo Blanco and Añejo. Every month there's a new, you know,
I've got some stuff coming out soon with it. Yeah.
I'm going to say Lost Lore fits in that too, because Arturo's done such a great job of finding these really awesome barrels to age in. So now I constantly have something new. But I've got to say Velour is one that one fits into mine, because I love that funkiness. I love that Valley's flavor that you get from them, and it's so creamy and good. I love all of those. So, but I agree with you. I have a rotating thing because I get so many new tequilas sent to me all the time that I've never had. And all of a sudden I'm like, wow, this is like my new favorite.
Yeah. Cambio to me has been a standout of newer. I mean, there's been a few new brands that I've gone, whoa, but Cambio to me has been a standout.
Doing some neat stuff. Okay. So here's a question for you, because this is one that I personally struggle with. You get somebody that's really excited. They send you their brand new tequila to your house. You get it. They want you to taste it. They want you to review it and talk about it. What do you do when it comes to your house and it's not good?
Well, I'm very open when people say, can I send you something? I'm very open to go, hey, first of all, this is just my opinion. And second, you know, nothing makes it on my platform without me believing in it and standing behind it. So sure, there have been some that are really excited to send me something. And, you know, I got to look at it two ways. If it's made really, really well, and it's got a good story, and it's priced well, and it hits all of those things, but it may just not be my palate. That doesn't mean they're wrong. It doesn't mean I'm wrong. It just isn't my preference. So in something like that, I don't know. Do they deserve to not be highlighted just because I don't like a certain flavor profile, but I think everything's made really well? I don't know. If there's just something that I just don't like at all, and I start to look into it and I'm like, I'll just let them know and thank them for it and just say, hey, I'm not the right fit for you. I'm not saying you're not the right fit for me. It's not on you. It's on me. I'm not the right fit for you, but you have to. I've had brands come up to me and go, hey, I know this may not be your thing, but you just tell me a number. Let's get it done. Let's figure it out. And I'm going, no, I'm good. It's not, I've got my credibility here on the line. And if I start pushing things that I would never have talked about, I've got to hold to that. And you know, I always have, and I always plan to. Absolutely.
Yeah, I get sometimes I don't even know they're coming. They just show up.
I do too.
And it's like, where'd this come from? And so then I usually call them and say, look, hey, I tasted it, and this, I don't want to crush somebody's dream, right? This is somebody's baby.
Yeah.
And so I had a couple of people ask me, why do you never have bad reviews? And it's like, well, I'm not here to hurt somebody. I have that a conversation separate.
They're not going to make it on the show. And yeah, to your point, if it's a newer brand, and I've now started to really learn what it takes to start a brand, run a brand, grow a brand. I have no interest in doing any of that, but I ask a lot of questions and I know a lot of those people. And the last thing I want to do is someone who's spent the last 4 years of their blood, sweat, and tears and cash and all this stuff for me to do of you to trash them when it may just be like, that's not what I'm looking to do. Now, maybe some of these massive brands that aren't doing things the way I think could be done, maybe I'll have a little fun here and there and do a video. But for someone who's a mom, pa, no, my heart isn't to destroy. I want to build up. Yeah.
Yeah. It's one thing to talk about some of these big, giant celebrity brands or use those as an example, but somebody that's put their blood, sweat, and tears. And in what I have found in a lot of cases, they don't know their tequila has additives in it or it's done well. They don't know.
I think there's an entire distillery that we've talked about in the years past. And I think there could be some good brands, but I think that entire distillery is using additives and most of those owners have no idea. Because you just start tasting and everything tastes the same and there's some interesting flavor profiles and those owners will swear up and down and I'm going, and then I start hearing some stories and I go, I just don't think they know. And that's a really real thing that could happen.
So kind of speaking on that, we love 1579 and 1123 and 1414. We got these tequila distilleries that we talk about that are like the holy grail, and we love the tequilas that come out of them. So what are some of the new NOM numbers that have some tequilas that are coming out that you go, holy cow, this thing's amazing, out of some NOM I didn't know anything about?
I think there's a bigger question of what makes the tequila great. Is it the facility? Is it the artist? Is it the distiller? Is it the visionary who's behind it, like a John DeRozier with Cambio, who he may not be there making the tequila every day, but he's overseeing it. I think this La Pulga is great. Now, does that a blanket statement to go everything else made at such and such distillery is going to be great? Doesn't always translate to that. So I think there are some brands that I've gone, these are worth talking about. I think Ileana Partida, what she's doing, this wouldn't be a distillery I'm all hopped up on. And he goes, well, I know, but let me tell you, you know, and you start to get into it and you go, okay, it's very different. I'm trying to think. There are some.
There's some. Oscar Vazquez, Master Distiller.
Absolutely phenomenal brand coming out of NOM 1580, which is also where... is that Ensueño?
Yeah.
Is Ensueño coming out of there?
Ensueño.
I think Ensueño.
Yeah.
Okay. So remind me of their names, the Mosto guys.
Paolo and Dave and I think.
Well, Paolo, I met. He approached me at the Guadalajara airport.
Okay.
And he knew who I was and said, hey, I'm working on a new brand and gave me his card, Mosto. And I've seen you talk about it. And I started looking, and I go, well, Oscar, I know Oscar, there are distilleries and I've not had that.
Have you had this one yet?
No, Main Street. I've not had it. I know.
Oh, gosh. Another.
I know they did really well at an award thing. And I know at Sabor, people were really excited. I have not had it. I've heard really great things. So there are great brands out there. And I know I'm at fault for this. I talk a lot about those Mount Rushmore brands and master distillers, but I'm also very clear that that's not the entire story. There's a whole nother generation of master distillers coming up, because one day we won't have Carlos Camarena and Felipe Camarena and Sergio Vivanco and so on and so on, Enrique Fonseca. At some point they're going to go, hey, we just want to go hang out with the agave fields and our families and enjoy our tequila. And there are some incredible people that are coming up going, okay, now it's our time to shine. And there's also some distilleries that, you know, you get the right chef in that kitchen. They know what they're doing. They've got good product, great agave, and they care about it. They can make some good tequila. And I've also been to distilleries that are no additives, but they also focus on mass production. And I walk away tasting their stuff and I go, there's no heart and no soul in this at all. They want to pump out as many liters as they can. All for you doing that and giving a better option that is cleaner. But when I taste it, there's nothing that gets me excited for it.
Yep, I agree. It's these brands that I talk to that have a real heart about what they're trying to do and the flavors that they're trying to, that palette, their profile that they're trying to come up with. And to have some of these brand new brands with some of those new master distillers at some different NOMs make you kind of turn your head. There's some single brand NOMs out there now too that are really phenomenal as well. So it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, I don't love the name, but Alateo.
Great brand.
That tequila is phenomenal. I just bought a bottle of Añejo at Total Wine yesterday. I mean, that's a small little cut-off distillery of this land. And he's, I'm like, it's really, really good tequila. Like there's good tequila out there made by people other than the ones we like to always elevate.
That Altacanto, I think is how you say it. That one's really impressive as well.
Yeah, I've got some up here. Yeah, absolutely.
I've had to buy that. They haven't sent me any.
It's a great brand.
And I do buy just as much tequila that comes to the door that I don't buy. So that's important to know. Okay,
I went shopping yesterday.
What do you think's going to happen with, and we don't have to get too deep into this because none of us really know, but with the lawsuits and the Additive Free Alliance and Tequila Matchmaker, and there's so much turmoil in all of that. How do you think that's all going to turn out?
A storm just came in, so it's looking darker over here. So I apologize. My lighting is not as good as yours.
Your lighting just became mood lighting.
Just now it's cinematic now that we're asking the dramatic questions. As you said, we don't know. We don't know. I think nothing's going to come out of it.
Okay.
I think it's going to just be brushed under the rug. I think it will be business as usual. There's a lot of questions. I've read the complaint. I got a copy of 30 some pages and I read it all. I mean, the restaurant that charged that complaint, like how did they know? Like who sent them the reports and who's funding their legal side? I don't know. I'm not like questioning it like bad. It's just when you go up against Diageo, they've got a budget for litigation. So I write from the beginning, look at how did this even come to be? I've also heard that, don't know if this is right. Again, I'm just a guy on the outside that's trying to share a little bit of the story. So I have no expertise in speaking on any of this. And truth be told, none of us do. When it all came out, everybody wanted to be the first on social media and say they're this. I've had brand owners in Guadalajara tell me, there's like warehouses here that are full of empty Don Julio bottles with labels that is outside of Don Julio and outside of the CRT, but they know it's such a recognizable bottle and brand that people buy empty bottles and labels, and then they fill it up with really bad alcohol, and then they try to sell it out in the area. Could some of that have worked its way into? I don't know. I also want to be very careful, and I said this on a sip session you may have been on. I want to be very careful that we, as the agave tequila aficionados, we're not saying or doing anything that's trying to tear down tequila from the inside. I don't want to say anything that's going to get somebody on the outside to go, see, I told you, tequila's bad. It's all bad. Look at this stuff. No. There's a lot of amazing stuff. This is a multi-billion dollar industry. Is there some shady stuff in the shadows? Yes. Just like any other business, any other industry. So I want to be very careful that we don't say things that is going to hurt the people that I've fallen in love with and the brands that I'm trying to support. I had a brand owner of a great brand, he's a CEO. He called me and he said, hey, should we be talking about this? Because we wanted to do some videos and really talk about it. But our fear is the more noise we make about it, the more uncertainty and people might start going, well, the entire category of tequila can't get their act together. And he said, I don't know if we should. And I said, I wouldn't. Like, one, we don't know what's true. We don't know what's really going to come out. So I hope there are answers. I hope we start to learn. I also have heard on good authority that there are other distilleries that have done the same thing where they were making liquid for someone else. They believed it was 100% agave, the people that were receiving it, because people don't know this, but you can buy tequila from other distilleries and there's a paper trail and there's, you know, all these things. A little frowned upon, but it happens. And from what I've heard is it was two major big brands that were buying it from another distillery. And they did some testing and found out it was not 100% agave. So, you know, if it really happened and the CRT overlooked it intentionally, that's a problem.
Yes.
If it really happened and Don Julio and Casamigos knew about it and they couldn't care less and they're trying to, that's a problem. I don't know if, as profitable as those brands are, if they would risk their credibility for, like, how much does it move the needle in profitability, like having a little less than 100%. Like, I don't know. So at the end of the day, I'm no expert in it. It'll be interesting to see. I just hope we get some response out of it. I don't know where it's at. Have not heard much from it lately, but it will be interesting to see how it shakes out.
It's been very interesting to watch. I haven't done any videos on it because I've had a lot of people ask me, and I read it as well, but I just felt like, I don't need to. I have enough people sending negative messages in my DMs to send something else out there. So I just didn't say anything at all.
Yeah.
So that leads us to another question. I've got only a couple more, but how do you deal with the negative stuff of the internet? Because, you know, I know there's a lot of love out there and there's a lot of amazing people, but for some reason, the small negative comments climb under my skin, and those are the ones I think about when I go to sleep. So I'm sure you get more of those than I do, but just on sheer followers, how do you deal with the negative stuff?
I drink tequila. No. Look, you're right. And thankfully, I don't get it as much as some others. And I think it's because I don't know if I'm more likable. I don't know if I'm more authentic, whatever it is. I don't, but I still get, I get a lot of like, this dude can't even say that word right. Or he's a gringo. Why would I ever listen to him? I love when people think, hey, I can sit behind a typewriter or a keyboard.
A typewriter. It's like, are you my age? You're not my age.
1855 here, a typewriter, a keyboard, and they can say whatever they want to say. And there would be things that they would never say to your face. And, you know, I get people, I've had comments like, this dude talks out of the side of his mouth, like his face isn't even symmetrical. Like, it's a little harsh. I didn't really fully notice that, but thanks for pointing that out for me to always notice now. I think any engagement is good. I agree. Any communication is good. To be honest, sometimes I say things wrong because I don't know how to say it. And sometimes I say things wrong because I know it's going to get a lot of people to engage and have that interaction. So I'm kind of baiting you at some points to go, okay, let me flex my white gringo. I am learning Spanish. I do know more than I always thought I would know, but I do need to continue to learn more just for respect. And also, it's hard to connect with people when you can't speak their language. And one of the things that I'm trying to do is connect with people. So I think interaction's great. I try not to let it bother me. Sometimes it does. I could have 100 people tell me how great my videos are and you know, how appreciative they are and blah, blah, blah. And I could have 2 people make comments. And I think about those 2 comments more than anything else. And I think that's just part of human nature, that we all want to belong and we all want to be a part of something. I also try my hardest to kill them with kindness. There are times where I've been quick to respond, to make a witty comment. And afterwards, I'm like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. Like there was one that I always remember the way he said it, he messed up with his grammar. And so I honed in on that and people just jumped all over him. And I was like, I feel bad doing that. But I try now to breathe. And if it's something that needs a response, most of the time I don't respond. Don't even give it attention. When I give it attention, then I'm letting him know it matters to me and you struck a nerve. I try not to even give it attention, but if there's something that like kind of needs a response, I want to really think through, you know, if you've been a fan of How to Win Friends, Influence People, Carnegie, you know, you want to say things in a way that matter. And also understanding that When you lose, and when you win, you lose. So it really doesn't matter what you say. They're probably not going to listen. So there have been some things where Lucas Assis, a dear friend, and he's gets a lot more comments so just in general than I do, but I'll talk to him about things and he's always like, I need to be like you. I need to stop, breathe, and then respond, because our default is to want to just lash back. And that doesn't move the conversation forward. I try not to listen to it, try not to respond. And at the end of the day, and if I feel depressed or bad, hey, I got some really good tequila that can keep me company.
You and I are, we have that in common. I it gets me, but I also am not one to try to engage. And I also know that if you made me mad and you make me think about it all day, you won, because you just rented space in my head for no price. So I try to just let it go, but I do ask a lot, hey, what can I do better? What can I do different? And one of the coolest things is Jimmy Sells has become a friend, and Jimmy and I have met up several times, and we communicate a lot. And he made the comment. He said, can I give you an honest criticism? And I said, yes. And he said, would you stop saying Lowlands? It's ridiculous.
I said, you just did a video on it.
I did a video on it because I'm like, you're right. Tequila is as low as Denver.
Yeah.
And so
it's still higher elevation, but everyone says it. So right. It's hard to, I'm with you, and I've said it and I'll say it. I try to say valley more than lowlands, but you're right. If we're looking at elevation, it's not super low elevation.
Right. So I took that as great. And then I said to him, hey, I already have like 9 videos recorded. I probably said it wrong in all of those. So he's like, I won't look at the past.
Yeah. Just moving from today on.
Yeah. Today on, but it's some good stuff. Awesome. I'm so thankful for you doing this. So let's talk about the shirts we're wearing right now. My favorite club. So let's talk about the Agave Social Club a little bit. And what is it? Tell everybody what they can get out of this.
Yeah. So I did start a membership. It's been almost a year, which has been great, because I actually have people. My wife she handles all of like the back end and she's been amazing with it. And she's like, you know, there are people that are coming up for renewal. So we've got some fun things coming up. So there is a club, and it's like, hey, this isn't like I'm trying to be making all this money off people. I wanted to create something. This is actually called the Agave Social Club. So let's create an actual club. I do have merchandise. And for years, people have asked, how can I get your glassware? How can I get your shirts? And I just don't have the capacity to set up a shop and do inventory. And I know that there are companies that can do that. And I probably need to look into that. So I thought, hey, let's start an actual community and a membership. It's a one-time fee per year, and it gets you in the club. With that, you get a welcome box that has some glassware, some shirts, some other things. There's real value there. We do a sip session every month, which you've been a part of most of those, if not all of them. And if anybody's been a part of them, they fully see, okay, this is worth, that alone is worth joining this membership, because it's some access to some people that they don't get access to in an environment where they get to ask questions. And maybe or maybe not, cannot confirm, a lot of times those brands give something afterwards to the people that are on those sip sessions. That's a fun thing. I'm also doing single barrels and different projects. I know we're probably all fatigued on single barrels. I feel that pressure. It makes me want to continue to find other things that are, I don't want to say more special, but just different than just going and picking out. So if you're a part of the Agave Social Club membership, you do get 24-hour access to purchase these special releases. I've got some really special things coming up with Siempre. I've got some other ones that are in the works that I'm very excited for. So that, and then there's other things. You probably just got the discount code to Alma de Jaguar. Every month there's discount codes to brands if you want to purchase their tequila. So, you know, I'm trying to be engaging. I do need to do more things like some other virtual tastings. I am a one-man army. Now I've got my wife helping out, but I'm trying to, you know, do more with that group because it's a really engaged, awesome community. And then, you know, for the next round for renewals, you're gonna like this, Brad. I got new merchandise. I got some good stuff that I don't have any up here, but the orders have been placed. I've already got some delivered, but it's all different merch box because, you know, I got to have something different to keep people engaged with it. So some fun stuff there. And that's agavesocialclub.com, theagavesocialclub.com, where if people want to join. And if you don't want to join, that's okay as well.
I've had several friends join. I've had people that I've told about it.
I appreciate it. Yeah, appreciate it.
And to me, it's extremely informative. The sip sessions are awesome. The information that's given in there is access. I mean, it's one thing to watch, you know, me interview somebody or somebody else interview somebody. It's different when you're not in this and dealing with people every day that you get to ask a question. And I think that's awesome for the community. And, you know, I need more brand neutral shirts. Although I did, I now have a sticker. I finally have a tasting tequila with Brad sticker. See, that's
I don't
probably,
know if this is just a hobby, Brad.
Probably going to turn into a shirt. I'll probably have a shirt that'll probably have the Agave Social Club logo on it somewhere too. Because it's all about honoring other people.
I'll take it.
I love it. So,
I'll take it.
Where are all the places that people can find you, Doug?
I do most of my stuff on Instagram at Agave Social Club, at the Agave Social Club, one of those, I'm not sure. TikTok, the Agave Social Club, YouTube. I am trying to work on more longer format videos. I just did one, Caballito Serrero. That may have been the one you saw. That was 16 minutes of, I don't even think I was in it. It was just, it was Javier talking some incredible stuff. So I'm trying to do some more longer format stuff on YouTube. So if you want to subscribe there, Instagram, I do have a Facebook group for Agave Social Club. Instagram is really where I do the bulk of my interaction. I do have the website, theagavesocialclub.com. And if you need to reach out to me, doug@theagavesocialclub.com gets directly to me. And I do my best to try to answer everything. Sometimes things fall through the cracks. So if there's something you're waiting on, reach back out to me. But lots of ways to get in touch with
me. Yeah, do follow him in all the formats because every format's a little bit different. And join the club and then stop DMing him because he's too busy and I want him to answer my questions.
No, DM away. I
only
owe you some shirts.
Only for
DM
selfish
away.
Reasons. Just selfish reasons.
DM me away. I need to get you some more shirts. I appreciate it.
Well, Doug, I appreciate you coming on tonight. This has been awesome. It's an honor for me to get to spend time with you. Like I said, you and Lucas Assis are the first two people that I watched that going back to the day when I have a podcast called Real Estate Makes Us Drink. And my podcast mate's a realtor friend of mine who said, you should talk about tequila. And I'd watched a lot of your videos and a lot of Lucas's videos.
Well, thank
and
you.
And my wife and I got on a plane. We flew to Guadalajara. We went to Fortaleza, El Tequileño, Arete, and Cascawin. And I tasted cooked agave from an oven and from an autoclave. And I visited the town. And I came home and said, okay, now I feel like I can talk about it. And I wouldn't have done that if it wasn't for you and Lucas, honestly.
Well, thank you. And Lucas does a great job. Lucas Assis he's the real deal. And he's a real dear friend of mine. And I learn a lot from him. And so, you know, always want to promote him as well. And I think, are you going back to Guadalajara anytime soon?
Yeah, we're definitely going in August. We're definitely going in September. We're trying to figure out July if that's going to be a possibility. We're working on there's some busyness going on. So, so yeah, we'll be going back again. I do want to ask you one question before we finish up. My wrap up question with my brands is you've created this baby. It's your brand. Who would you want to share it with? And I know you've got the opportunity to sit down and sip tequila with some phenomenal people. So I want to find out who is left that you have not got the opportunity to sit down and share a glass of tequila with that is on your list of this would be amazing to sit down and drink tequila with.
In general or for the show?
In general, just for you. Like, who's that person that you go, man, this would be amazing?
Yeah, I mean, I've hit almost all of them. Herman Gonzalez at Tears would be good just to continue to hear his story. But man, humbly, I'm thankful. I've had an opportunity to sit with everybody that I've wanted to sit with. And, you know, and that sure, there will always be more people that I'm meeting and wanting to. Herman would probably be the one up there that I just haven't really had a chance to really connect with. Haven't fully tried recently, but I know he's, you know, a pretty special guy, and Tears is a pretty special brand. You know, and then I don't know, there could be some other brand owners that I just haven't had a chance to meet that are just brand owners. That'd be great to sit down. And, you know, a lot of times we talk online and all these things. And then, like, you're just at Savoy Couture, you get to go to these festivals, these events, and you go, man, I finally get to meet you in person and get to have a drink with you. And so those are always special. So, you know, I've had the opportunity to knock out a lot of those meeting people at different events. But, you know, there are probably a few others that I just haven't had a chance yet, but hopefully one day.
Awesome. Well, you're on my bucket list to have a drink with, and we'll probably do it before just January of next year. But
let's do it.
Well, I just want to say cheers and thanks for doing this with me. I appreciate you very much.
Anytime. Thank you, Brad. Thank you, buddy. Cheers.
See you, brother.